Wayne is not my lover.
That's not nice. I'm not being nice.
It's not mean.
That's very hurtful.
No.
Eric Zorn is off this week because he knew how mean you were being to people, so he didn't want to be a party to that.
I'm Mary saving Schmeek. My niceness for Mary Schmeek.
Mary's sitting right over there. I just found out, I've known you a long time. I just found out something about you 5 minutes ago that astounds me. You're one of the writers of Brenda Starr, the comic strip?
I wrote Brenda Starr for 25 years.
I didn't know that either.
It hates me, doesn't it? And I stopped doing it in 2010. And when I decided that I just had enough, I just really 25 years of writing a daily comic strip will age you prematurely.
Is that true?
And, you know, on top of writing three columns a week.
Yeah.
And I decided I just couldn't do it anymore. And so the syndicate, Tribune Media syndicate that owns it.
The syndicate.
We just decided to kill the strip. Or at least it's in a deep freeze. You know, theoretically.
It could come back at some point.
It could come back.
Yeah.
But I had Brenda at the end of 2010, I think it was. Walk off into the sunrise after a New Year's Eve party in her
name. Really?
That's how she would have done it.
Yeah.
Not the sunset, the sunrise.
Sunrise.
Sunrise, of course.
You know, so
the walk of shame into the sunset.
Do you remember who played her in a movie?
Oh, indeed I do. Brooke Shields.
Brooke Shields played her.
I have never seen that movie.
It's not good.
I hear it is one of the worst movies ever made, but Basil, her, you know, paramour for
Timothy Dalton?
50 years, yes, was played by the exquisite Timothy Dalton.
Yeah, he's fine in it.
And once Brooke Shields' mother called me because she was unhappy with something in the storyline of the comic strip, you know, and I thought, ma'am... It's not your strip.
Right. It's yours. It's up to you. Right.
She was quite the momager, remember?
Terry Shields.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny we even know her name.
Yeah, she was very demonstrative.
Mm-hmm.
Did you write other strips, or was it always Brenda Starr?
No, it was always Brenda.
Yeah? I had no idea you did that. I'm always amazed at somebody who writes that, because on average, it's three panels a day, right?
Right, three panels a day during the week and seven on Sunday.
Yeah. And it's hard to set up a story when that's what you get to work with. I don't know how I'm
talking about when I say prematurely ages.
Yeah. I can only imagine.
And it never ends, you know?
So you would
there
never
is no
do it.
Vacation for no,
it's
a
all,
comic strip.
It's all year round. So you would never, if somebody came to you and said, you pick the comic strip, Mary, it's up to you. We need you to write it. You wouldn't do it again?
No.
Never.
No. I am really glad I got to write a comic strip, because it's something that it never in my life occurred to me to want to do.
Sure.
But when the opportunity came to me, how could you say no?
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up on Brenda Starr. All girls my
we
age did right?
Yeah.
And, you know,
independent woman.
She was cool.
Yeah.
She was collected. She was what we wanted to be.
Yeah.
She was
no girls
too,
of apartment
you know?
3G, though, Mary.
Well, those girls, those were
that Margo. Whoa. Margo was crazy.
What was that?
That was a long-running comic strip, The Girls of Apartment 3G.
Yeah, there was something kind of racy about them.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I mean, I say this from my 9-year-old perspective, right?
What's the one the Sun-Times just dropped a bunch a week or so ago, including Ziggy? You don't drop Ziggy.
You can't drop Ziggy.
What are they doing? That's upsetting.
Well, you know, the comic strips used to, I mean, they were part of what carried newspapers, right? People
right.
bought newspapers in large part for the comic strips. And, you know, the Sunday pages, you remember the, you know, the big color comics
16 pages.
On the Sunday. Yeah. And, you know, the panels were really big.
Yeah.
And as kids, you know, you would lay them out on the floor and you'd lie down and
right.
read them on your belly.
Right. My mom used to read at breakfast on Sunday. She would read us the comic strips, and we didn't want to hear it. And then later, we were old enough to read ourselves, but she would still, she'd go, wait till you find out what Rivets is doing. You're not going to believe. Rivets, please. Well, that's fascinating. I had no idea you did that, and for so long, too.
Wow.
When Eric Zorn is here, we kind of let Eric speak about whatever's on his mind, Mary, and we want to extend that same courtesy to you. What's on your mind today? What do you want to talk about?
Well, I would start by talking about a column that I wrote that appeared in print on Sunday, which I have not gotten as much email on anything in a very long time as I've gotten on this column.
Mm-hmm.
I would say 80% of the email is favorable. The other 20%, you know, would like to string me up. The headline on it was, the America of my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
So much bunk and bigotry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was just, I've just been thinking lately, you know, as I get older, I look back more clearly on the world in which I grew up and how that world was not clear to me.
Sure.
When I was growing up.
Sure.
And, you know, there was a, in the Crayola box, I think you're a little younger than I am, Bill, but, and you too, Wendy, but there was a crayon called Flesh.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right?
I knew it. I had the 72.
And,
I had the big...
you know, Flesh was a pinky beige.
Yep.
And, you know, that to me, it's kind of funny, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I do look back and think about a world in which there was no hesitation to describe the color of flesh
right.
as pinky beige.
Right.
And there are just so many other things. You know, my mother, many of our mothers, most of our mothers, when they married, they lost their quote-unquote maiden names.
Yep.
And they became, so my mother, Mary Ellen Finley, became Mrs. F. George Schmeek.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, women's identities were subsumed without choice, really. You know, if you want to choose that today, great.
Right.
But it's just, this is, there wasn't a choice
right.
about it. All the characters on TV were white except for Amos and Andy.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I just started.
Possibly not the best representation of African-American
right.
culture.
Though, you know, I was reading some about Amos and Andy when I was writing this, and it was more subversive than I think I, as a kid, understood.
Sure.
You know, it was caricatured in a way, but it was an all-black cast.
Yeah.
It started out as a radio show, I think, that was done by white guys
right.
who were impersonating black people. But Amos and Andy was actually an all-black cast on TV, so it was radical in that way, but it still was kind of cartoonish.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
And then, you know, and then I just started thinking about, you know, Dad went to work, Mom stayed home, unless Mom was black, in which case there was a good chance that Mom left her kids and home to go take care of a white family's house.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And kids.
Yeah.
So, and you know, and who knew anybody who was a Muslim? Sometimes you heard about Arabs.
Mm-hmm.
Ahab the Arab.
The song.
That was,
Yeah, big song, you know. Clyde the Camel. You know, we played cowboys and Indians.
Right.
And the Indians were the bad guys. So some of the boys really liked to be the Indians. But basically, the Indians were the bad guys. Except they weren't always the enemy because they made good mascots.
Right.
So, you know, I just started looking back at this world that, you know, there were all of these assumptions about when, oh, and there were no gay people.
No, of course not. Of course not.
And gay people just didn't exist.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So I just started, you know, thinking back. I've just been thinking a lot for myself, and I finally decided to write it down about, you know, this world that I grew up in. And it's not that I cast it as evil. I just cast it as ignorant.
That's what it was, wasn't it?
It was.
You know?
Yeah.
And
we didn't know better.
Right. So, you know, we have learned a lot.
Yeah.
And are learning. But when I hear people wanting to go back to, you know, those great old days,
yeah.
I just think, they were great in some ways. I had a nice enough childhood. But man, there was a lot of stuff that you just think, in retrospect, that was nuts.
Sure, sure.
And wrong. And very punitive to a lot of people.
Hold that thought. We'll pick this up in just a little bit. Mary Schmeek is our guest. It's Bill Leffitz, Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN. Mary Schmeek is here. Sure, you know her as one of the writers of the Brenda Starr comic strip, but did you also know she has a column in the Chicago Tribune? It's true, she does. On Sunday, Mary wrote an article about, I don't want to say the olden days, but a different America.
The world we grew up in and all of the assumptions we made. Things we, and but when I say we, I mean white people, took for granted that we now look back on as just really ignorant and in some cases really ugly.
You said you got a lot of response for this column. What sort of response? Give me the range of the response.
I would say 80% of the people who have responded to me have said, man, you nailed my childhood.
Yeah.
And it is. It's amazing, appalling to look back and think of the things we thought, the things we said, the things we did, or at least the people around us, you know, did. Said, you know, Polack jokes.
Yeah.
You know, there were things I didn't even, after I finished the column, I thought of all sorts of things. You know, public drunkenness used to be hilarious. Remember Red Skelton?
Sure.
Ha, ha, ha.
Foster Brooks.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Candy cigarettes.
Yeah.
Because the most glamorous thing you could do was chain smoke. You know, some movie stars chain smoked, our parents chain smoked.
Sure.
And little kids, we had our little candy cigarettes.
Yep.
I felt so glamorous when I puffed on my candy cigarettes.
How come we didn't have candy liquor? Seriously.
That's a great question. I don't know. They still make candy cigarettes, by the way.
Do
it amazes
they?
Me. Yeah, there's a gas station I go into all the time that has boxes of them. I don't understand candy cigarettes at all.
Do they make candy jewels now?
I think they might, yeah. All right, so 80% of the people see it that way. Tell me about that other
20%. The other 20% truly believe that it was the great America that we've lost.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them describe their wonderful childhoods in their wonderful neighborhoods with their wonderful parents. And you know what? If that's how you look back on your childhood, that's great.
Yeah.
I don't begrudge anybody a happy childhood. But we lived in a world that demeaned a lot of people that promoted a lot of ideas that were not right.
Yeah.
I was going to say not good, but just weren't right.
Right. Yeah.
Just as I was coming here, I read a message on my phone, and I started reading it thinking this was, you know, somebody who's going to object to the whole premise of the column, a man named Ed, I think. But he didn't. He said, you know, I agree with everything you said, but the photo that ran with the column is misleading. This was fascinating to me. He said, the photo is outside a, you know, a nice 1950s style house.
Yeah.
And Dad is in the car waving goodbye to Mom, who I think has an apron on, and a daughter. And this man pointed out, he said, there are two cars in the driveway. He said, there were not two cars in the driveway in the 1950s.
There was one car.
He's
there
right.
There was one car, and the man drove the car to work.
Yeah.
Yep. A lot of women didn't even drive.
Yeah, and because the woman was home taking care of the kids, and if she needed some quick supplies, there was a grocery, you know, a small grocery within driving distance.
Sure, of course.
Which spurred a memory for me of my mother. My mother, until almost the time she died, my mother had 8 children. Jeez. And was not allowed to work outside the house, though she desperately wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Really, into her late 80s, she talked about how when she got married, my father had decided that they had to sell her car. She'd been a working woman. She got married at 28, 29.
And, which was old for them,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, which was very old.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was an old maid. an old maid who had 8 kids. And and she had bought a car with her own money. And she had tootled up the East Coast from Macon, Georgia to Boston in that car. She loved her car.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad decided, I love my dad, but he was a man of his time. And he decided they would be better with, you know, just having the money from selling the car. And where did she need to go anyway?
Mm.
So anyway, it was fascinating to me that this reader noticed the two cars in the driveway.
Sure.
And wrote to say that was his one objection, you know? Otherwise, he went, yeah, I'm with you.
So can I ask you, when Donald Trump came up with the slogan, or his people came up with the slogan, Make America Great Again, a lot of people said, when exactly are we talking about? When was America great? What do you want to revert it back to? It makes sense with this column because those idyllic days of the 50s and the 60s that we thought were so carefree and warm and loving really weren't always, were they?
You know, if until I was about 9 years old, I would say my life was carefree and idyllic, you know, in my our little house in Savannah, Georgia, where Dad went to work and Mom stayed home, and she had help.
Yeah.
She also had 8 kids. But then, you know, I wasn't aware of all the social stuff going around us that was not so great for everybody. And then, of course, you know, some of the letters I've gotten from people, you know, have pointed out, yeah, and in those days, there were no alcoholic fathers beating their wives. Mm-mm. Of course there were.
There were.
Somebody wrote today and pointed out that, you know, we didn't have really any conception of mental health.
No, none whatsoever.
And that so many of the men who came back from World War II got no treatment for mental health.
Right.
And, you know, we have a very neat storyline about, you know, the greatest generation.
Sure.
They went to war, they came back, and then they made America great. A lot of them suffered in those wars.
Most of them.
Horribly.
We had no story for that. No treatment for that.
Yeah, yeah. The column is from yesterday's Tribune,
right,
but it's still accessible online. If people didn't get a chance to read it, by all means, read it.
And you make me feel better about today, kind of, in a feeling where, you know, where is America headed? In a way, we are better.
Yes. That's the thing. I mean, you know, all the ugliness is now in the open.
Yeah, right.
And
for better or worse.
You know, the question that I ended my column on was, what will we in 30 years or future generations look back on about this time and think, I cannot believe they believed that.
Mm-hmm. Good question.
That's great, a great question.
It's Mary Schmeek from the Chicago Tribune.
You're the best.
Thanks, Mary. Great to see you again.
Thank you.
Coming up, the stories that matter with Doma DiPongo from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.